Romans chapter 1, please.
Reverend McCray stood up on Friday night and quoted from Romans 1:16. At the start, I was sitting there going, "Stephen, shut up and stop ruining Sunday morning." But then I realized, last Sunday morning, I went to Corrigarry. My last Sunday morning off, I listened to Reverend Kirschgadden and he quoted Romans 1:16. And then Reverend McCray again, Friday night, Romans 1:16. By that stage, over 2 weeks ago, it was Romans 1:16 that was impressed upon my heart. Let's read down to the end of the verse 17 from the verse 1. Romans 1, the verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And we do know and trust the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word. As I said, over these last number of weeks, I have been drawn more and more to think of this first Sunday morning service. My mind was thinking what message would be most suitable to bring at the outset and at the commencement of this ministry. But I realized it's not my message to bring. It wasn't for me to sit and to think what would me personally be best to bring to you. Rather, what is the message of the Lord for each and every one of us? That as this new chapter begins in the history of Six Mile Cross, what would the Lord have us to think upon this day? What would the Lord have us to consider and to apply to each and to every one of our lives this day? I believe this is a message of the Lord for us. The book of Romans, it can rightly be looked upon as a theological masterpiece. Within the pages of this book, Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he deals with the doctrines of justification, of sanctification. Most importantly, he deals with the person and with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting whenever you consider and you look at the book of Romans, the very first verse in the book and the very last verse in the book both bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and the verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. The very last verse, Romans 16 and the verse 27, it says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul, the man that he was, he never saw himself as anything higher than a servant of Jesus Christ. He never saw himself as anything greater or anything more mighty than the lowly position of a servant to the greatest King of all. Everything that he did, everything that he wrote, everything that he said, he did it for the glory of Christ. Know that that would be our position in life. That everything that we do, that everything that we say, we would glorify Christ in it. That when we go to our workplace, that we work not for a boss or for a company, but rather that we are working to glorify Christ. And Paul, as he opens this epistle to the Romans, he begins by speaking succinctly and briefly in the eternal sonship of Christ. We see that in the verses 3 and the verses 4. Then as he moves on, he moves to address the church in Rome directly, the verses 7 through to 13. And in these verses, we see a great example of Christian love and unity. There was that desire, Paul writes, that he had the opportunity of being with them before that occasion, of having fellowship with them, that desire to be with one another. Christian unity, such a blessing. Christian love is such a blessing. It is a necessity within a church. There is that love one for another. There is that love between brethren and sisters, that we care for each other and that we look to the Lord for his blessing upon one another. But then when we come to the verses 14 through to 16, we come to Paul's three I ams. Verse 14, I am debtor. Verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. And the verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In many ways, these three I ams, they ought to be the testimony of every single gospel preacher. I am a debtor. I am a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I owe my Savior everything. I owe my Savior for dying upon the cross for me. I owe my Savior for keeping me each and every day. I owe my Lord and Savior for calling me into the ministry. I owe my Lord and Savior for bringing me through Bible college. I owe my Lord and Savior for opening up this door to come and to preach the gospel. I owe him everything. I am ready to preach the gospel to you. God helping me each and every week in this pulpit, each and every Wednesday night up in the prayer room, each and every pastoral visitation that I will do, whether it be in a home or whether it be in a hospital, I will bring the gospel. I will read the Word of God. And I will draw you to Jesus Christ. Why? Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Three things I want to leave with you this morning from the verse 16. I've entitled this message, The Foundation of Christian Ministry. The Foundation of Christian Ministry. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the claim of the man. The claim of the man. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It is important to pause and to remember who it is that is making this claim. It is Paul. Paul is the one who was taught and trained by the top Jewish leader in the land, Gamaliel. Paul is the one who was referred to himself as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul is the one who had a bloodthirsty desire to see every Christian locked up, killed. He had that desire to have and to see the gospel message eradicated. Paul is the one who was on his way to Damascus with letters in his possession, giving him approval and giving him acceptance that he could go in and round up every Christian in Damascus. Paul is the one who the Lord Jesus Christ met with in the way. That bright light came down in the middle of the day upon him, and Paul there met with the Lord Jesus Christ and was gloriously saved. It is he, the one who is now a living testimony for Jesus Christ. For all of the old life has passed away. All things have become new. It is he that is making this bold and clear categorical claim, "I am not ashamed." It is important to consider to whom he is making the claim to. It is to the Romans. To the Roman people as a whole, the Roman nation, the gospel was about a poor Jewish boy who was killed. A carpenter's son who was taken by his own people and was given to the Roman nation to deal with. That's all it was to the Romans. Rome was a proud city. Rome was the great capital of that wonderful and that massive, mighty empire. They're not going to listen to some message coming out of a rival capital, particularly one that they had defeated. And yet the gospel message, it was preached first there after Christ had risen and ascended up into glory. It began in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And it had spread out from Jerusalem into Samaria, Judea, and then on to the uttermost parts of the Roman Empire. Christians, especially in Rome itself, were overwhelmingly slaves. Common people. They weren't the elite. They weren't the great and the proud senators. They weren't the centurions or the praetors that were there in Rome, those with the might, with the power, with the people behind them. Rome had its ideologies, its philosophies. They didn't look to outsiders, they looked to themselves. Rome was all about its might, its power, its pride. Here was a message coming about humility, love and grace. That a man by his death, as they saw it upon the cross, was able to save people from their sins. And yet Paul was not ashamed of this message. Yet to Paul this message was everything in his life. And this message, not only was he not ashamed of it, but rather he had confidence in it. He had saw and experienced what it had done in his own life. He had saw many others gloriously transformed and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a world today where many are puffed up with pride. We live in a world today where so often and time again on the radio and on the news and on the TV, we will see people and they will stand and they will say, I am proud of who I am. I am proud of my skin color. I am proud of the way that I look. I am proud of my gender. I am proud of my appearance. I feel empowered. That's constantly, it's what's being thrown in front of us. People standing, feeling empowered that they can stand and say, I am who I am. To many today, the Word of God is either viewed as a load of rubbish or a book of hate. There are others in the world who will say that there is a place for every religion. They will say that all religions have their place and all religions are good and all religions are right. The Christians right, the Roman Catholics right, the Muslims right, the Jews right, the Hindus, Sikh, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, and they'll say they're all right and they're all accepted. You shouldn't condemn one another. It's all about love. If we accept everyone, all that does is lead to more confusion. And truly our world today is one of darkness and confusion. But yet, just as it was in Paul's day, there is a good news to proclaim. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, many will see it as foolishness. Many will say to stand in a pulpit and to preach is foolishness. Many will say that to sit and to pray to one that you cannot see and have never seen, it's foolishness. But I'm not ashamed. Let me ask you the question today, Christian, are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed to tell your work colleagues that you're a Christian? Are you ashamed to tell your neighbors that you're a Christian? That you believe the Word of God? Are you willing to take your stand? Regardless of what is said, regardless of what is thought of you, are you unashamed or ashamed? Notice with me, secondly, not only the claim of the man, but the verse 16, the character of the message. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Two factors I want to highlight to you. Notice with me, firstly, that it is divinely owned. It is divinely owned. Four times in the first 16 verses of Romans 1, Paul mentions the gospel. In verse 1 of Romans 1, he says it is the gospel of God. In the verse 9, he says that it is the gospel of his Son. In the verse 15, he says the gospel. And in the verse 16, he says the gospel of Christ. Never once does he claim ownership. Never once does he come and he says to the people that I am bringing you my gospel. No, the gospel belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the message of God from God for the glory of God. And the gospel is the possession of Jesus Christ. That good news of how the Lord Jesus Christ, he came down into this sin-cursed world. And he took into personal union with that perfect divine nature. He took into personal union a human nature. And he lived a perfect life here upon this earth. He was born of a virgin. He was made under the law. He fulfilled the law completely. In other words, he obeyed it and he did everything that was asked of him. And then he went to the cross and he shed his precious blood. And he died. He endured there upon that cross the wrath of God for our sin. He was laid in a tomb, but the third day he arose from the grave. Right now he is in heaven. One day he's coming back. Are you ready? Whilst that glorious message, and we thank the Lord that that gospel has ever been shared with us, that we have it in this precious book, that right from the dawn of time, the plan was already in place, that Christ would die for sinners, such as you and I. Whilst we rejoice in that message, whilst it has been shared with us and it is there for us to share with others, both young and old alike, remember this, child of God, it's not our gospel. It's Christ's gospel. Jonah 2 in the verse 9, it tells us salvation is of the Lord. Acts 4 in the verse 12, neither is there salvation of any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. John 14, the verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other gospel to preach. There will never be any other gospel to preach. The gospel has never changed and will never change. You think of the words of Paul there to the church in Galatia. Galatians 1 and the verse 9, he says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be what? Accursed. God helping me, this pulpit will never have anyone in it that does not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 of Galatians 1, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Christ to bring, not the gospel of our denomination. The Free Church was set up in 1951. They didn't come up with a new message. They didn't write their own book. Rather, they kept to the old book, to the old message, which is ever new. This is the message of the God-man. Did you notice that in Romans 1? In the opening verses, we see the deity. And we see the humanity of Christ. Romans 1, verse 3, what does it say concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord? There's his deity. In the end of the verse 3, it says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. There's his humanity. God and man together in two distinct natures, but yet one person forever. In the gospel, it has to have the God-man. It's not just the gospel in relation to God, and it's not just the gospel in relation to man. It is the gospel of the God-man. Christ Jesus is fully God and fully man. He was born fully God and fully man in this earth. Whenever he took that flesh unto union with himself, when he died upon the cross, he was still fully God and fully man. When he ascended up into glory, fully God and fully man. When he comes back down through the clouds, fully God and fully man. That's a message which must be proclaimed from this pulpit. That's a message which must be proclaimed in the Sunday school classes. That's a message which must be proclaimed in the children's meeting. What? That Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God, he came into this earth to die for sinners. Not only is it divinely owned, but we also see in the verse 16, it is divinely empowered. It says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We must be mindful. myself included, that it is not our delivery of the message that saves people. It is not our style of preaching that will save anyone. It doesn't matter if I shout at the top of my voice or I whisper. It doesn't matter if I stand in this pulpit and I cry and I get down on my knees in front of you and beg. Nothing like that will save you. It's the word of God that saves. Romans 10 and the verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. D.L. Moody, writing on that passage, he says, it is God's word, not our comment on it, that saves souls. I'm sure you've heard the phrase many times, man cannot create an anxious thought. It's the power of God that creates the anxious thought. It's the Spirit of God applying the word that creates the anxious thought. Paul here, writing to the Romans, he's writing to a nation who boasted of power. Rome was that nation that they loved their power, they loved their might, they loved strength. Greece, it had its philosophies, but Rome had its power. Rome had her legions all over the empire. They would march and fight against anyone. And yet with all of that manpower, with all of that might, with all of that weaponry, Rome could not save one single soul. Roman nation and empire never saved one drunkard from the drink. Rome, with all of its might and with its manpower, it was never able to declare one murderer innocent before God. But the gospel of Jesus Christ could. And it still can. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it is, has the empowerment of God upon it. John Calvin, he wrote this, Christ's gospel is the scepter of his kingdom. It's the power. Brethren and sisters, take comfort and encouragement. Whenever we present the gospel, whether to the young or to the old, whether it be in an individual setting or a collective setting, whenever we bring the gospel of Christ, we're not bringing it with our own power upon it. Rather, it comes with the power and the application of the Holy Spirit. And if the Lord wills to save a soul, then they will be saved. Regardless of the depths of sin that man or woman or young person finds themselves in, the power of the gospel can gloriously change them. None saved here in this gathering this morning, let me say this, it doesn't matter your background and it doesn't matter the sins that you find yourself in. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that brings to us what? That Christ's death upon the cross can cleanse even the hardenedest of sinners from all of their sins. 1 Thessalonians 1 and the verse 5, Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, he said, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And oh, brethren and sisters, that we would never be ashamed of the gospel, but rather that we would have that confidence, we would have that spiritual boldness in proclaiming it, and telling our loved ones and in telling those about us, and remembering as always that it is divinely owned and it is divinely empowered, and all that we are asked to do is simply to present Christ. Tell others. Let the Lord do His work. Thirdly and finally, not only the claim of the man, character of the message, but finally I want you to see the congregation to minister to. The congregation to minister to. Paul writing there in the verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Gospel is not an exclusive message. The gospel was not just for the Jew, and it was not just for the Gentile. Oh, you may say, but in the Old Testament, it was only the Jewish nation, it was only the Israelite people that were chosen. Well, let me ask you this, what about Rahab? What about Ruth? What about the people who were on the boat with Jonah? What about the people that were in the city of Nineveh? Oh, Christ, he came and he only came to the Jewish people. Well, what about the centurion that Christ testified, "Never have I seen so great a faith in Israel"? No, the gospel message, it is for the Jew and it is for the Gentile. It's for everyone. The apostles' ministry, yes, it began in Jerusalem, but it spread the gospel to every single corner of the earth. And so it continues to this day. It's for anyone. It's for everyone who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the crux of the final distinctive of free churches? The final distinctive of the free church, what is it? We are evangelistic and outreach. That there is that passion, there is that mission that is found within us, that we have that desire to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why missionaries have been sent forth from our denomination. That's why missionaries have been sent forth down through time. That there is that desire to send men and women to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is for the Jew and for the Gentile. It is for the Protestant and the Roman Catholic. It's for everyone. I've been called to minister to the congregation of Six Mile Cross, to care for the flock, to preach the gospel. The congregation is not restricted to what is before me. It's not just what's inside these walls today. Outside these walls, there is a congregation of the lost. Those in darkness who need to be reached and won for Jesus Christ. Many years ago, a man by the name of Dr. Carlyle, he founded the Church Army. It was an organization which was set up by the Church of England to work in the slums amongst the poor. One evening, as he was finishing for the day, he was asked to go along to Buckingham Palace and to visit with King Edward, who at that time was upon his deathbed. As Dr. Carlyle came into that room before the King, His Majesty, he asked him faintly with his last breathing words, he says, "How are the tramps?" Before Dr. Carlyle could respond, King Edward went on to say, he says, "Never forget, Carlyle, tramps and kings need the same Saviour." Brethren and sisters, that's the reality for where we live here in Six Mile Cross, that both men and women, Protestant and Roman Catholic, and no religion at all, they need the same message, and it needs to be about the same Saviour. The people of Six Mile Cross, the people of Carrickmore, the people of Burra, the people of Seskenore, of Fintna, Eden Derry, and all of the little clusters of houses and all of the houses that are dotted along the roads. The men and women that are found in those homes, what do they need? They need the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though they be born in sin and shapened in iniquity, yet Christ can save them. Know that in the days that lie ahead, that men, women, and young people, that we would see them won, that we would see many souls saved. I am a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am ready to preach the gospel.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us look to him that in the days that lie ahead, even beginning today and even beginning tonight, that souls will be saved. Not for me. Christ must increase. I must decrease. But that everything would be resounding to his glory. To his glory alone.